Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. We begin today with the latest edition in our ongoing series, What Else is New? You'll recall previous items in this series included large corporation looks to evade paying their taxes, Washington politicians not entirely truthful about their budget proposals, and Mets lose. Today's episode of What Else is New? The wealthy and connected in New York City are using their networks to get out of parking tickets. Last year, a wiretap into a drug dealing case in the Bronx inadvertently picked up a conversation between a local barber and his son, who is a cop. The father had gotten a parking ticket and was asking what his son could do to get it killed. From there, the ticket-fixing investigation ballooned, and we now know that hundreds of officers and their union representatives have expunged tickets for their friends and family, according to these reports. Roscoe Parascandola of the Daily News, their police bureau chief, helped break this story, and he joins us now. Hi, Rocco. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
What else is new?
I hear you.
Here's a basic question. Why in the world is it called ticket fixing? Were these tickets somehow broken? Isn't it plain old corruption?
Well, that's a very good question. The argument that we've heard, and it's not without merit, is that for years, decades even, cops whose relatives got tickets or friends got tickets or cops themselves who got tickets while off duty would turn to colleagues and ask for the tickets to be fixed. We've heard arguments about why this is not necessarily the worst thing in the world. The DA's office, however, is looking at it differently, obviously. They have reason to believe that some cops may have taken money in exchange for fixing tickets, which obviously is bribery, it's perjury, it's larceny perhaps, it's official misconduct. They're also of the opinion, it would seem, that even if I, for instance, fix a ticket for your brother, and then later you come by my precinct and leave me a bottle of booze as a thank you, that technically that's bribery, even though I did not seek the alcohol, even though you did not offer it up as something you would give me if I took care of the ticket. And then there were those who feel, listen, you just shouldn't fix tickets, that if you do that, that it is a form of corruption, and that eventually, if you allow that to happen, then it creates an environment in which more serious things can take place.
Kind of the broken windows theory, but as it applies to the police rather than administered by the police.
Correct.
I want to read, as we get ready to open the phones here, something on the Sergeant Benevolent Association's website right now. That's obviously the Sergeant's Union. President Ed Mullins posted an open letter, and he's not backing down. In fact, it sounds like he's defending the practice. He writes, quote, "It is hard to call such practices acts of corruption when the culture of extending courtesies to members and their families within the NYPD has existed since the day the very first summons was ever written." He goes on to say, "I've been on the job for nearly three decades, and during that entire time, it was never deemed unusual to get calls from high-ranking department members when a summons was given to their family members or friends, as well as elected officials, members of the judiciary, business executives, celebrities, athletes and physicians, clergy members, district attorneys." Who does this leave out, Roscoe? Nobody. And or others. These phone calls were as much a part of the culture of the department as arresting criminals. So again, that posted by the president of the Sergeants Benevolent Association, Ed Mullins, an open letter on their website. So listeners, what do you think? Whatever you call it, fixing, cheating, helping out your friends and family, give us a call and let us know. First of all, have you ever been on the advantaged side of this? How did you feel about it? Have you ever used connections to get out of a ticket? Or have you tried and failed, perhaps? Or any current or former police officers in the audience, or sergeants, you can call in anonymously and discuss the practice, or anyone else. Do you care about this? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show as we talk to Rocco Parascandola, the Daily News Police Bureau Chief, who helped break this story. Rocco, with your long experience covering the police, did that Sergeant's Benevolent Association website posting raise your eyebrows or not really?
Well, no, I think... I think what clearly that union is trying to do is make obvious what is known to most people in the department, that there is this general sense, whether it's justified or not, that when something like this happens, when there is an investigation into something that is believed to be taking place at all levels of the department, that typically it's the lower rung officers and sergeants and maybe even lieutenants who ultimately are criminally charged or departmentally charged, and that the hierarchy, the captains and above, typically escape unscathed. Not always, but there is certainly a sense that in this case that captains and above have been known to try to get tickets fixed. And so is the end result going to be a number of officers and sergeants criminally charged and departmentally charged, but no one of the higher ranks? If that's their feeling, then it's clear why they're doing this. And Mullins even said, I think we quote him today in our own story, saying, look, if someone took money to fix a ticket, if someone took gifts to fix a ticket and they actively sought that, then that's wrong. That's criminal. Arrest them. But if now you're going to stop on a dime and start going after cops for doing something that's been done through the years, well, is it just going to be officers and sergeants, or are we going to see all members of the department being charged? So I think that's the posture that he's coming from.
Right. And it's funny because on the one hand, he's defending doing favors for a favored few as normal. On the other hand, he's complaining about differential treatment as it pertains to his members. By the way, listeners, I should have mentioned while I was reading that excerpt, we've posted a copy of the full letter on our website. You can also go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show to see that, and we'll tweet out a link at Brian Lehrer. You can get it that way, too. Let's take a phone call. David in Nyack. You're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing?
Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you. I'm not a police officer. I have no police officers in my family. I've never been on the positive end of ticket fixing. But I think that cops give a lot of their time and a lot of their effort to keeping their respective areas a safer place, and to give a break like ticket fixing, I think is just kind of a nice courtesy. But I think it does cross the line when you accept gifts or money in exchange for doing so.
David, thank you. So there's one judgment. Let's see. How about Sam in Manhattan wants to make sort of the ultimate perspective point, I think. Sam, you're on WNYC. Turn off your radio.
Just a second.
And that goes for everybody. If we put you on hold because you're a caller, listen to the show through the phone until we get you. Go ahead.
Hello. It seems that this is very tiny, very small, insignificant compared to lobbying.
Compared to lobbying. So if it's corruption to give somebody a bottle of Jack Daniels after they do you a favor, but it's legal to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions, then we're barking up the wrong tree.
I think so.
Sam, thank you very much. And obviously we spend a lot more time on this show talking about that than talking about this. But Darian in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Darian.
Hi.
Did I get your name right?
Yeah, you got my name right.
Thanks for calling.
No problem. Yeah, I mean, I'm just really happy that this kind of stuff came out, although, in my opinion, it seems really small time, like, oh, fixing parking tickets. I know it's maybe, like that other call said, a nice courtesy to police. Do a lot of positive things for society, but I think that these kind of things really, when you hear about it or that you hear it in the news, it's like a first stab in public confidence in policing, that they're really on your side. You know, it's like when you're at the stoplight waiting at the red light and the cop just flashes their lights to just blast through it. And you know they're not going anywhere. They're just kind of taking advantage of the privilege of being a police officer. Or like they're double parked in the bike lane. And, you know, it just kind of makes you feel like they're taking advantage of their perks in a way that isn't necessarily the best for everything.
Right. It's not always that somebody has more than you. It's the sense of unfairness in the way it comes about.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Darian, thank you very much. And Rocco, what do you think about that? I mean, that applies to so many areas of life. We had a call in yesterday for people who were willing to admit that they cheated on their taxes. Mm-hmm. And would you believe our lines were full? And people were willing to just admit, and we let them call anonymously, but still just admit all kinds of ways that they cheated on their taxes without shame. And the biggest reason was the tax code is skewed so that the big fish can get away with so much. If I'm going to take an extra 100 or an extra 1,000, it's just a little way of, you know, giving me a little bit more justice. And, of course, that means, though, that they feel alienated from the system and from the body politic. And I think Darian just explained how a lot of people feel about this, too, even though they're pretty much little tiny favors.
And I can see why he would feel that way. But I'll relay to you a story that Mullins told us yesterday. It's actually in our coverage today. And he talked about a time when he was a sergeant out on the street working at the 19th precinct on the Upper East Side. And on a particular day, he was loaned out, which is not uncommon, to a different precinct, in this case, the 30th in Manhattan. And during that day, he basically had a van full of rookies in his police van, and he came across a long stretch of double parked cars, alternate side of the street parking. Not uncommon for people to move their cars from one side of the street to the other, and if there's no space there, double park. At the 19th precinct, he said, if that happened, you wrote someone up. You wrote a double park ticket. And so he assumed it was the same held true in Harlem. He ordered the rookies out of the van. They wrote 60 parking tickets. When he got back to the 19th precinct the next day, he was read the riot act and was told in no uncertain terms that there was a lot of anger about all these double park tickets he had ordered written. What he did not know going up to Harlem for that one shift was that there was an understanding in that precinct between the precinct commander and members of the neighborhood, community members, who had obviously parking is difficult no matter where you go, and at least in this precinct it was an agreement was reached whereby you can double park your car on the other side of the street while street cleaning took place where you had been parked. And so all those tickets were voided. So that's a case clearly where the community kind of benefits or a favor was done on behalf of the community. Now, is that wrong or is that right? Well, he was kind of taken aback by it because he was working in a precinct where you hit someone with a double park ticket no matter what. You go to a precinct where there's an agreement.
Right.
You can make the argument certainly that it's not the worst thing for community relations. If you're running a precinct and you're hearing from people that, you know, we're getting tickets for parking, double parking while we're in church or while we're dropping our kids off at school.
Right, or during alternate side where it's common practice, as I think it was in this case.
Exactly.
To move your car for an hour and a half or whatever it is in your zone.
Right.
But I think that's fundamentally a different situation because there the informal agreement was with the entire community. It wasn't special favors. It was any schlub who owns a car in the neighborhood was able to double park it during alternate side and they weren't going to get whacked, right?
I don't disagree. However, if you read that story and you say, gee, I live on the Upper East Side or I live in Bayside, I can't do that. Is that right? I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. If you're the commanding officer of that precinct in Harlem.
Right. Or maybe I understand what you're saying, exactly what you're saying. Of course, maybe the moral of that story is that car owners in every crowded neighborhood should be afforded that courtesy by their local precinct. But I guess that's for another show.
Sure.
Steven in New Milford, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I'm a person who drives. I'm a freelance lighting technician. I drive all over the city all the time. It's basically part of my job. And I've gotten small infractions from driving without a seatbelt up to, you know, small traffic tickets. And I think that it's unfair that someone who doesn't have a connection in the precinct or with the police has to pay tickets, take days off of work to handle tickets, and all of the other inconveniences that come along with it just because I don't have a connection, whereas it's part of my career. I need to be on the road, and my exposure to the road is something that a lot of people can understand, that, you know, work and drive a lot.
Do you find that police officers are somewhat sympathetic, more than they might be to somebody else, because you have to drive for a living? You know, if you get hit up, I don't mean hit up like they're asking you for a bribe. I mean, if you get, you know, stopped for a moving violation, parking ticket, and you tell them the circumstance, do you get sympathy or do you get lack of sympathy?
I very rarely even have an opportunity to mention, you know, what it is that I'm driving for, you know, why I'm out on the road so often. I'm on the road during off hours, you know, 2, 3 a.m. in neighborhoods where I may be the only car that, you know, passes by a police officer in half an hour. And that makes me subject and targeted because, you know, I'm the only person, you know, that they're going to see for, you know, quite some time. So
right.
I think that it's hard enough to make a living, never mind taking days off to handle, you know, thing. I live in New Jersey, so to come into New York City to take care of a ticket is essentially taking a day off of work where, you know, I can't be earning an income and I'm helping to, you know, fill the coffers of the of, you know, wherever the money goes. That,
does it make you feel even more singled out when you hear this list of groups that are regularly afforded the courtesy of parking ticket fixes from
why
the sergeants? Well, I'm going to go over that list.
Everyone works for a living, but why is it that if you just happen to, you know, work in, you know, an area where you don't have any connections to the police?
Right.
You mentioned earlier when you were reading the letter by the head of the Police Benevolent Association.
Sergeant's Benevolent,
You said that you thought the list included, you know, everyone who wasn't on the list. And, you know, to be honest, about 99% of Americans aren't on that list. There's, you know, thousands, you know, millions of people who work for a living just doing their day-to-day job, and driving is a part of that job. Getting from place to place is just a part of being an American and performing the tasks that, you know, are on hand as someone who works for a living and is a responsible member of society.
Absolutely. Stephen, thank you for your call. Yes, Rocco, 99% of Americans would not be included on this list, which included elected officials, members of the judiciary, business executives, celebrities, athletes, physicians, clergy members, district attorneys, and members of police officers' families or their friends. That list sounds long, but that's still maybe the
1%. Correct.
Let's do one more, then we're going to be out of time. Kim in Brooklyn is a public defender. Is that right, Kim?
Yes.
And?
The police department is completely corrupt, and the fact that they're defending this is offensive. And if you listen to that list, it's the most elite people. And it's over and over that we see the police department hurt individuals who really have no money. And the fact that they defend this is just completely offensive.
Completely corrupt might be an overstatement.
Well, I think it's completely offensive, the fact that the police department defends this.
Thank you for your call. By the way, Rocco, before you go, is it just parking tickets? I hope it's not moving violations, because
we get into
the realm of favors to the realm of danger.
I don't disagree, but I think it's both. Just getting back to that caller, the department really has said very little about this. This is essentially, and really the only people really speaking about this right now, at least on the record, is the Sergeant's Union. I do suspect the department will eventually talk about it as charges are announced, and I think what you will see is a sea change that, you know, from here on in. Well, first of all, this actually goes, the investigation appears to predate the installation last summer of a system that monitors and tracks summonses electronically. So the ability to fix a ticket now is dramatically more difficult. So this goes back really, the time frame of the investigation appears to be either 08 or 09 into the summer of 2010. But that aside, I think what you'll now see, once this comes to a head, is just a change in the culture. And this is just not going to happen anymore. You know, whether you agree with it or not, whether you think it should continue because it's gone on for decades or not, I think this will be pretty much the end of this type of courtesy extending.
Really? You really think this is that big, that it's going to end the whole thing?
I mean, I think even if you didn't have the investigation, I think it had already changed dramatically just because they now track tickets electronically.
And that's what Mayor Bloomberg said yesterday, who did weigh in on this. He says this is actually no longer a problem, that the city has moved from paper carbon copies to electronic databases, so everybody already knows and it's already not a problem. Is he just out of touch?
Well, no. I mean, I think there are still probably ways to fix it. But basically, if I hand you, as your supervisor, a book of 20 summonses, at some point when you return that book, if summons number 15 is missing, it's not going to be just obvious to me. It's going to be obvious in the system to different supervisors what happened to summons number 15. And you're going to be held accountable for that, and you're going to have to explain that. So, I do not think the mayor is wrong. The investigation, however, kind of predates the installation of this system.
Well, maybe the most surprising thing about this whole story is that the city was actually using carbon copies as recently as last year. Roscoe Parascandola from the Daily News, Police Bureau Chief. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
And again, listeners, you can find a full copy of the Sergeant Benevolent Association letter defending the practice on our website. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show.